So we've been talking about a book, which is really, the most important book is the Bible, right? This is just something that some people put together, kind of trying to help Christians understand a little bit more about sharing their faith and things like that. But this is not the Bible. The Bible's the Bible, and we base our lives on the Bible, right? So this is just a support for us to be able to share our faith. And I'm going to share a little bit about this today. I have a really exciting scripture to share that I'm so just beside myself that I get to preach with this scripture in mind. And so the basic question we're working on today is to help people to say yes to Jesus. And this includes ourselves, right? So not just other people. It includes us. And we have the question, are we ready to share the gospel clearly? And who in our lives might already be ready for that invitation? So clearly we know that God has this insane wooing love that draws, by the power of the Holy Spirit, draws people to God's self. So this powerful spirit, Holy Spirit, is drawing people and wooing people. It's a deep love that God has for us. And just like a magnet on the fridge, you know, we're drawn to God. And it's important that we hear what God has to say about us and that we apply it to our lives and our hearts. So I have some pictures of some cars. And I kind of want to illustrate for everybody what the journey is towards, like, having a relationship with God or the growing in faith, and that's okay because you eventually get there, right? Sometimes it takes a long time. I used to have, when actually Pastor Brian and I had both grew up with Volkswagen VW Rabbits. Mine was diesel. And it just went down, but it got me A to B. I think my parents purposely gave me this car so I wouldn't drive fast. So anyway, that was my car. Mine was red. So next slide. We also have the 2016 Prius. We're getting a little faster here, right? Got some modern technologies. We are getting somewhere and going a little bit more in style from the Volkswagen Bug. Next, we have the Honda Accord. It's probably got an inline six engine, so it's getting a little bigger, more powerful, pushing us forth, and we're feeling a little more stylish. There's actually a back seat that fits people. We can bring people with us as we get from A to B. But some people, and I'm talking about faith here. So picture this. This is not just getting somewhere, getting to the mall. You know, it takes me, you know, a long time or a short time to get to the mall. No, it's like coming to faith, okay? Hearing the wooing love of Christ, drawing us in, pulling us in, pulling us in, and how long it takes for us to decide to make that choice, to follow Christ, and to respond to God's love. So we have the Honda Accord. Next, we have the BMW M3. And so some people come to faith more like the BMW M3. This is pretty fast. It goes 0 to 60 in 4.1 seconds. So that's pretty fast. Right? Do you agree? Pretty fast. So that's good. So I don't know exactly how long that would be. Maybe a month, with the Fox being, Volkswagen being a year, or maybe 3 years, or 20. So this might be a month, you know, of just like processing and really sensing the power of God in our lives and coming to faith. Our next one is the Tesla Model S Plaid, and this goes 1.9 seconds, 0 to 60 in launch mode, I can tell you all about this car. I drive it every day to work. Just joking. In my fantasy, I do. But yeah, this car, this is what happens when people are just like, yes, I'm ready. Yes, I'm ready. And we're going to meet the jailer today in our scripture. And that is the jailer. The jailer is good to go. He is riding in that Tesla Model S plaid. Right. So today we focus on popping the question and asking someone to trust God with all their hearts, minds, and souls. This is a point when a person is ready for the last stretch, placing their trust in Jesus. It is celebrating what most of us think of when we think of someone coming to faith. But when someone's truly is ready, when God has done that quiet, unseen work in their hearts leading to that point, we want to be ready too. We want to be part of the team that can articulate words that will help people to know God and to follow God so that people can come to faith. And I have our scripture today from Acts 16, verse 16, and I'm going to read that to us today. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet to the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up. When he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. It's a good story, huh? Love it. So let's reflect and set the stage. Paul and Silas are in Philippi, so a Greek town, and this girl is following them for days, shouting at them and saying things. And it's annoying. It's a horrible thing. It's like someone who really doesn't like you just saying little jabs all the time at you. We all know how hard it is to silence those voices. But this was public and constant and all the time. Eventually, Paul rebuked the spirit in the name of Jesus. The girl was delivered, but the owners lost their source of income. But no one cared. No one valued her suffering, only her usefulness. And so at that point, Paul and Silas were dragged or taken in front of the authorities, and they then were taken to prison at that point, and they experienced some really violent acts. They were beaten, they were wounded, they were hurt, and then they were thrown in the middle of the prison, and their legs were put in stocks, which is like wood with holes on it, so you have like the wood surrounding your leg, and so you can't move a whole lot because you're a big threat, right? You can't even stand up, and you're just sitting there. Wounded, in pain, in the middle of a prison. This is horrible. So they had this girl that was annoying them. They had to do something. They had to set their three selves, they had to set her free and make it stop. Annoyances and suffering comes in many forms. Sometimes they're like the mockingjays in the Hunger Games, voices that repeat what they hear, sometimes haunting, sometimes overwhelming. But those same sounds, when harnessed rightly, can become something beautiful. Paul and Silas didn't silence the mockingjay by force or fear. They trusted God through it. I resonate with God with that. When I was living in Seoul, Korea, I was struck all of a sudden with these insane nightmares. I would go to sleep for a couple hours, unbelievable nightmares, wake up, try to calm down, try to like bring myself out of crazy and come down to reality, fall asleep again, wake up from a crazy nightmare, try to pull myself together, calm myself down, and then this would happen night after night. And I finally was like, could this be the malaria pills that I'm taking? Because I was going to Thailand on a trip coming up. Has anyone here ever taken malaria pills? A few of us. If this was enough time ago that malaria pills were really, really not kind. And so I finally realized I got rid of the annoyances, got rid of them, and stopped the pills. It went away, and I became fine. So about 6 months later, I'm in L.A. and hanging out with a friend, and she's telling me about her trip to South Africa and all these things that God was doing and these things she saw and experienced that were just so incredible. And I said, were you on a malaria medicine at that time by chance? And she said, yes, I was. It was crazy. It was horrible. So sometimes we have these things that we just need to get out of our lives, overcome, stop doing, in order to set us free. So I kind of think that could be a bit of a stretch, but that was one way that I was just like really annoyed, really tormented. And so it gave me even a small glimpse of what Paul and Silas were going through, although I can't fathom being out and having someone yelling and assaulting me all the time. So Paul and Silas understood this cost. Now they're in prison, shackled, wounded, and bleeding. And yet, at midnight, what are they doing? What are they doing at midnight? Worshiping. They're worshiping at midnight. They're praying and singing hymns to God. They chose praise. Their spirits led them into praise because of the power of the Holy Spirit resting upon them. It doesn't say that in the text, but I just can imagine that being such a powerful God moment. Knowing the penalty for failure. So then things get interesting. More than that, they've had all this happen, and they're praising God, and then comes earthquake, big earthquake. What a surprise. and all the doors open, the shackles are gone off of their wrists and their legs, the wood thing that has their legs is broken, and they could get up, they could walk out of there, but they don't. They don't, because I'm assuming that the Holy Spirit tells them not to. So at that point, the jailer, he decides that he's going to just take his own life. All the people in my jail, they're out. All the doors are open. I'm not going to make it. I'm going to be killed anyway. Do you ever feel like that? We're just out and down. But Paul and Silas call out, we're still here. We're still here. And so he comes to them. And he rushes in trembling and asks the most important question a human being can ask. What must I do to be saved? He is ready. He goes 1.9 seconds in that Tesla plaid. He gets whiplash. He goes so fast. And he knows that they possess something special. He knows that they're different. He's a free man, and yet they are freer than he is. And in that moment, Paul and Silas don't hesitate. They're bold and clear. They say, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and your household. What a moment. It's great they said this, but they've endured heckling. They've been thrown in prison. They've been wounded. They've been up all night. Everything before them had led them to this point, and this man believes. It is a step of faith. It's a leap of faith. It is a way that God speaks in our life through experiences, through tragedies, through things that are uncomfortable. God speaks, and God uses our brokenness. God uses our weaknesses and our suffering. And he and his entire household was baptized, and that jailer, as a message of compassion, feeds them and washes their wounds. Sometimes people won't ask the question as clearly as the jailer did, but they may say things that stick with us, things that we can't shake. They may express longing, guilt, fear, curiosity, or hope. Our role is to listen, to discern, to tell the good news, and to be ready. Paul and Silas stayed in prison. They didn't flee. Would you have left? I believe they sensed the Lord's direction and they were filled by the Holy Spirit. Because they stayed, the gospel rang true and mercy spoke loudly. But you know, there is a cost to discipleship, right? It's the cost that it's a starting of a journey with God when we accept Christ. We start that journey and we then, at that point, reorientate our lives to Christ. So we say, yes, I will follow you. I will serve God. I will accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But it's also a reorientation of life and priorities. We turn completely at that point. Christ is the center. In some ways, there's a dichotomy here. There's a simple coming to faith in Christ, but also the cost is great to following Christ, and things aren't always easy. Because life is not always easy. We lose our jobs, loved ones pass away. We undergo surgeries and endure other losses. And yet, we walk with God. And that Holy Spirit is with us. We have the intimacy with God that sustains us And as we get to know the Lord, that becomes stronger. And so by filling our hearts with things of the Lord, such as reading the scriptures, prayer, you name it, coming to church, things like that, or watching online, whatever it is, it isn't easy, but it is worth it. Sometimes faithfulness even lands us in prison-like places, but God meets us there. The Christian life is not easy, but the gospel is clear. Salvation comes through believing in Jesus. We must use words. We must not be silent. We are not just do-gooders. We are witnesses. I love this quote from the book on page 114. It says, "How would you feel if you came to my wedding and at the altar, this is what I said to my husband? I commit to loving you several days out of the week. I give up most of my other boyfriends. I will try hard to be there for you in hard times, but I can't promise anything." God wants our whole hearts. So let's give Christ our all. And in doing so, we can share the gospel freely and lovingly to other people. So we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That comes from Romans, and it's so true. So for any of us who are ready to cross into the place of salvation and be saved by Jesus, or maybe you want to reaffirm your faith and recommit your life to God. Maybe you want to do one of those two things. First, I want you to know that God loves you so much. Not just a little bit, like so much. He died on the cross for you. He gave everything for you. He created you and knows you more than anybody. People are sinful. All of us are sinful and are separated from God. Romans 3:23 says, "The result of sin is death and spiritual separation from God." Jesus died for our sins, fulfilling the Old Testament price of shed blood for sin, so that we would not be punished for the things we'd done wrong, our sin, and have to be separated from God. We have that intimacy, like I've said so many times today, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus took the punishment. Jesus is the only way to God. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." So you're looking for that life today? It comes from Christ. It's the I am. He's the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So I'm going to give you a couple opportunities, and I may sound like an old Baptist preacher, but I want to give us a couple opportunities today. To either accept Christ for the first time or to recommit to Christ and follow him again, because it's worth it, right? Sometimes we go off that track. Sometimes, say, our orientation to Christ, metaphorically, is this. And sometimes we're like, "Hey, I'm over here. This is what I'm doing now. This is just me now," right? Well, maybe this is a good reminder to get that orientation back and to recommit to Christ. So I want to invite you to do that as well. So let's all fold our hands and close our eyes and just get quiet with God for a moment. For any of you who'd like to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior and recommit to living for him, I would invite you to raise your hand and go ahead and raise it today and accept Jesus again. All right, for any of you who'd like to receive Jesus as a Savior for the first time ever and cross into the threshold of faith, just like that jailer, I invite you to raise your hand. All right, I'm going to ask everyone to pray with me that is here today. Dear God, pray after me out loud. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. He died for my sin, and that you raised him to life. I want to trust him as my Savior and follow him as Lord from this day forward. Guide my life and help me to do your will. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so this is the start of our journey. This is not the end-all, band-aid, fix-all moment. This is the start of, like I said, what? What is it? Starts with a J. Journey. Yes, it's a journey. So we are going to try and reorientate our lives to follow Jesus in every part of our lives and to center on Christ, turning completely. Read the word. Listen to the Lord. Believe that once you accept Christ, you actually have the Holy Spirit living in you. So that's, you're not alone. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives and guides us like that magnet to the fridge. To do different things, we can always filter those things through the Bible in order to find truth, because the Bible is the ultimate truth. And we're living in that tension where the cost of grace is so heavy and thick. The cost is so much. But yet, there's this simple entrance into the family of God. And so I pray and I hope that every one of us will go forth and rejoice today that the kingdom, that there's so much space. There's space for all your people, all your friends, all your acquaintances, everyone that you know to come to faith and be a tool, be willing to speak out and be willing to be true to that journey that God has called you. Amen.